good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton Cuff, hit me, cut it,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, here with Wendy Pilot and Ogama from flying all over and staying all over the West Coast here. She's back with us, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post, located at 700 Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis. We're on the first floor of the Dayton's building, and we support Native American artists.
Yeah, I'll cheer for that. That sounds good. Hey, we were going to go live yesterday at the 5K walk in St. Paul.
What's the name of the
Lake Phelan.
Lake Phelan, yeah.
And it was, I've never seen it hail like this before in my whole life. And it hailed, and I said, hail no, and we aren't going. And then we were going to have the show here, and then it got sunny, and then we canceled the show. So that's what happened yesterday. As went out there, it was like 400 Indians walking and doing 5K.
That's great.
Our daughter, Jelaine, won a bike. She won one of those glow-in-the-dark, I don't know what the heck they're called, where you throw the in the hole with a beanbag.
Yeah, it's corn toss.
Yeah.
The one thing I want to say.
Glow-in-the-dark.
She won the bicycle, but it was like a child's bike,
which she could ride,
which is really
five,
nice
5'3" or 5'4",
right. Yeah, but she gave it back.
Yeah, she did,
so that they could give it to somebody else. So that was nice of her.
That was really nice of her. Yeah. And I don't know where she got that.
And you
niceness
gave away
from
a lot of your prize winnings also.
I didn't even talk about winning anything, but now that you brought it up, I did. Mm-hmm. The only thing I kept was that expandable
like a little wagon. Yeah,
so it can expand it and bring stuff like from the store or whatever. But hey, you know, we're blabbing here. We got State Senator Mary Kunish. Oh my gosh.
Were you going to say Kunish?
Kunish. State Senator Mary Kunish, Ogala, tribal, not member, but she's her ancestry is in there. And so we're going to have her on, and it's going to be Fun Fact Friday with Wendy. And why don't we get with Ogama with the news and see if she remembers how to do this. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Bonjour, Anine, everybody. It is good to be back. I was on a pretty whirlwind trip this past week, but hopefully I'm back in the state of Minnesota and I don't have to leave for a while. That would be nice. I'm glad to be home. I just wanted to start with some stuff that's happening here in Minnesota. I wanted to let everybody know that the Flood the Courts events for water protectors who were arrested and are facing charges regarding the Stop Line 3 protests that happened during 2020 and 2021 now has a court list active. The URL is tinyurl.com/floodthecourts. This is going to be a rapid response support page, and it is actually kind of difficult to keep organizing this because a lot of people have dates that change, things get canceled. If you could be patient and be willing to show up and stay understanding for the flexibility of that, that would be great. And then if there's people who might be interested, there is need for more volunteer support. So make sure you head over to stopline3.org to find out more information how you can get involved if you've got any need or desire to do that. Again, the link is tinyurl.com/floodthecourts, and that will give you some information on where to find dates and times to show up to support water protectors who are in court. And then coming up 2 weekends from now, not next weekend, but the weekend after, there's going to be a prayer vigil at the Minnesota Headwaters. So June 3rd through June 5th, Water is Sacred, which is a gathering at the Headwaters, is going to be happening at Itasca State Park in northern Minnesota. It is being put on by Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light, the Indigenous Environmental Network, Honor the Earth, and Eighth Fire Solar. They are going to be, during this weekend, having their fourth annual gathering in northern Minnesota, and this is going to be to honor sacred waters, affirm Native and Indigenous sovereignty, and then share the work of fighting for treaties and honoring those treaties, as well as being free from fossil fuels, as those are all important things. Host organizations include Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light, Rise Coalition, the NEBI Center, Indigenous Environmental Network, Honor the Earth, and MUUSJA or MUSJA. There is going to be a community meal, field trips, opportunities for people in the Jewish tradition to observe Shavuot and Shavuot. I'm sorry, I'm not Jewish. I should know how to pronounce that, but I don't. But there will also be a multi-faith prayer circle for the water. If you are interested in going, go to www.mnipl.org/events and look for the Headwaters Gathering 2022. Robert, this is a really cool event. I might show up there. I'm really hoping to actually show up there that weekend. They're going to have camp opening Friday night at 5. All day Saturday, they're doing tours and conversations and having time for reflecting and connecting. And there'll be a community meal. And then on Sunday, there'll be the prayer circle at the Headwaters at 11 a.m. So that's really, really an exciting event. And they are asking for a suggested donation, which you can find on the page where you register, and that helps to cover the cost of meals in the group campsite. But that'll be really an exciting event. And then coming up in Ashland, Wisconsin in late June, and I want to make sure everybody knows this is coming up, but it's going to be Communities United by Water Celebration, and that's going to be at Bayview Park in Ashland coming up here in mid to late June. Looks like it's starting Friday, June 24th. So that's going to be a really exciting event. So make sure you keep keeping an eye out for that and go to www.wisconsinline5.com to get involved. And it's under the events tab at wisconsinline5.com for this event. And we'll talk a little bit more about it as it gets closer to the date. Moving on to some national news. Robert, did you hear about Berkeley?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I posted that up there. Berkeley Law School, right?
Yes, California's Berkeley Law School or Berkeley School of Law is aiming to increase Native American student enrollment, and they are going to be offering no tuition for Native American students. So I guess there's fewer than 1% of law students nationwide that are Native American. This is from Reuters, and the school is expecting hopefully 15 to 18 Native American students to qualify for their new scholarship program in the next 2 to 3 years. So that's a pretty significant number of new Native lawyers coming in out of Berkeley. And it just says that as well as Berkeley, there's also going to be Yale and Stanford Law saying that they're going to erase tuition for students from low-income families. So those are really looking up because I feel like we need a few more lawyers in the world, right, Robert?
Well, at least Native lawyers, because we have to talk about treaties in our sovereign nation and things like that. But all I have to say is go Bears. I had a student that went to Berkeley, and she won on a tennis scholarship. She was just a BA, but yeah, go Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And then there's also something really exciting that's happening. So Marvel is going to have a new origin story, and it's a series called Echo. And in this series, there's a character who's played by Maya Lopez, who is a deaf gang leader and wants vengeance on another character. And the new series is going to tell her origin story. And I believe she played Hawkeye. So that's super exciting. Centers on the character Maya Lopez, who, she played Hawkeye, right? Am I right about that, Robert? Do you follow Marvel?
Oh, I don't follow Marvel. We only got a minute left, and I was wondering if you saw a first Indigenous woman that's going to be in the swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated. First one ever, so that's an amazing feat, too.
I did see that one. Yes, that's super exciting. I believe... oh gosh, and her name is escaping me. You happen to remember her name, Robert?
No, I don't, but it will bring it up next week. It's just a good thing to bring up front that we're still here. We are not only the seventh generation, but we're still here and we haven't left, and we are part of the community. So Pinigigi Ogama and Wendy for the chit chat. We'll be right back with State Senator Mary Kunish.
Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Even though things are getting better, COVID-19 is still around and a threat to our public health. To best protect yourself, make sure you continue to wear masks in high traffic areas like concerts, sporting events, or crowded indoor buildings. Wearing masks can help prevent severe illness and reduce the strain on our hospitals and healthcare workers. Wear a mask with the best fit, protection, and comfort for you. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic. Find more COVID information by calling 651-304-9986.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Wendy, you see that one of our smart listeners and viewers put up there? Her name is Ashley Collingbull. So thank you so much for that, Ms. Starr. And then also, let's see here. We got, hi, Ogama. So happy you're here. That's awesome and cool. Hey, so we have State Senator Mary Kunish on today, and as we do every Friday, and we just to check in what's going on all over Turtle Island. Welcome, State Senator.
Hi, y'all. How are you all?
Oh, she's got a southern accent now. Did you catch that, Wendy?
I love it.
Oh, do I? Hey, y'all.
No. Cool. So what's been going on? I think you're winding down, if you haven't already wound down from the Capitol and all the craziness there. Where are you guys at with that? And can you take a vacation soon?
Well, Minnesota is in the final days of our legislative session. We just have until midnight on Sunday to get this all done. And then we have to sign EDI. We have to end it for good for this session. I think we go back on Monday to listen to speeches from retired, those that are going to be retiring and not returning to the Senate. So that'll be a few hours. We're working really hard finishing up these omnibus bills, or these bills that have, still seem to have a chance of getting passed. Today we were in session, and one of our senators, Senator Lindsey Port, pulled out, she made a motion to pull her bill on price gouging out of the committee that it's been sitting in for 2 years and not had a hearing. And we've been talking about the formula shortage and how people are hoarding the formula and then selling it, you know, for 2-3 times the amount, and which, you know, is just atrocious. It's unconscionable. So she did that, and we were able to, you know, by motion and vote, pull it out of committee. But then we have to go through another step where we have to change the rules to hear it. And it did not pass through that. So after listening to some people, some of our senators talk about how important it is that we address price gouging, and it's not just formula. The Republicans, you know, decided, no, we weren't going to hear that bill. So that was unfortunate today. They did pass a bill, though, to allow more access to growlers, you know, those big jugs of brewery beer. So that got passed today. I know that it's been probably, it's kind of ironic, isn't it? They won't hear a bill on price gouging for a baby formula, but we will pass the growler bill.
Well, it's on
so
pins and needles.
Kind of the...
Yeah, I was on pins and needles on that one, Mary. Jeez.
Yeah. So those are the kind of things that we're up against. There's bonding money, there's cash, and then other ways of making sure that we're addressing the needs of our infrastructure, our roads, our bridges, infrastructure, and our state universities and colleges. But that we haven't, that has not yet to been decided. There was a really good package of bills that was put together this year by our urban indigenous community members and organizations. It's called, this is the really great brochure that they put together.
I got a t-shirt like that.
Yeah. And it's projects and support for the Clyde Bellacourt Urban Indigenous Legacy Initiative. And I was really lucky to and honored to carry that bill in the Senate and worked hard with my DFL lead to make sure that those dollars got into the bonding bill. But unfortunately, those decisions are held by a Democrat who now considers, who pretty much sides with the Republicans. So I have my fingers crossed. I think those dollars, those projects will be in there. But then they weren't in the House bill. So then we had to work hard to get those into the House bill. And so it's kind of an exciting time of negotiating and give and take. But at the same time, you'd wish, you know, everything that we ever wanted would get done this session, and we'll just have to wait till the next one.
So is anybody keeping a list of all these things the Republican goofiness have been doing this past year? So when we run ads here all over Turtle Island about their goofiness, that people will remember, because we have such a short memory span. You know, we don't remember things. We got a 30-second you know, memory span there. And I'd really like to hammer these guys, because they're not doing it for anyone. They're just against things other than big growlers for beer, I guess.
Yeah. Mary, yeah. I have a question. I don't know if you could answer this at all, but like the Republicans on my feed that I see, they blame the Biden administration, of course, for everything, especially the gas prices. You know, somebody put up a price of gas and said, you know, this administration is terrible. They're doing terrible things. So that's my first question. I don't know if you have any ideas or comments about that. The other thing is, who decides like the bills that go into the omnibus bill? Like who gets to choose what bills go in what like grouping or like this? Is it one person who gets to decide that, or who decides that?
Well, in essence, it does come down to whoever is the chair of the committee. So yes, they, you know, if they do their job, they listen to people, they travel around the state looking at all the different needs, the requests that people are putting out there for fire stations or bridges or you know, water towers and those sort of things. I mean, those are important, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. But it really does come down to the chairperson of the committee, and mm-hmm. they put their priorities in list in order. And then if yours isn't in there, basically you have to go back and, you know, kind of negotiate and ask for your bills to be put in there and explain why it's so important. And oftentimes those organizations will come in, or they'll have a lobbyist that'll lobby the chair. But it does really kind of come down to one person who makes the decision, whether it's in health and human services or education or the bonding bill. You just have to hope that there is a good, fair, honest person behind that.
Wow. And then again, like, what is your thoughts about, you know, people blaming the current administration for high gas prices?
Well, that's really, really not Biden's fault, to tell you the truth.
Right.
We've seen the price go up and up over $4 now. I think they said the average nationally is around $4.56, which is just blows my mind. But it isn't because of Biden. Mm-hmm. The supply is one of the issues. Yes, Russia's invasion of Ukraine sent mm-hmm. crude oil, you know, high at one point, you know, like I think the highest that it's ever been. And then also because the Biden administrator doesn't support the development of oil and gas resources, they kind of act as a, you know, they push back in that way and blame it on the president. So in essence, you know that all of those oil and refinery CEOs are raking in the dough.
Right.
I mean, really and truly.
That's the first thing I thought when you were talking about
price gouging.
Biden is not the world emperor, and there's gas prices, and the price of a barrel is high all over the world, not just in the United States. And they always want to compare it to when we were in the middle of COVID and nobody was driving and gas was like negative dollars a barrel. And you can't compare that, the last president didn't do anything about COVID. So we were in lockdown and no one was driving anywhere. So it's supply and demand and also gouging.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we rely on a lot of our gas and oil from the Middle East, from Saudi Arabia, and our president doesn't have that buddy relationship with Saudi Arabia, so those Saudis are angry with the president, mostly likely because of the withdrawal from Afghanistan and the lack of support for them when in the Yemen civil war. And so they aren't producing as much and they're not sending as much over. So those who have it control it. And then that'll be an argument that we need to be self-sustaining and we need to be producing those things here and using our natural resources, which oftentimes are found on reservations in Indian country. And people want to, you know, go in there and exploit that. So it's really just like that constant cause and effect. I think folks are just going to have to learn to not drive their car so much.
Well, Mary, can you stay with us? We got to take a short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Sure.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline at 651-304-9986.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
This is Santita Jackson, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I couldn't be more excited about starting our days together, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central, on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. Current supply chain issues have hit the car industry too, but that doesn't mean you can't find the next car of your dreams with help from Rudy Luther Toyota. Stop by and test drive a new Toyota today. You can reserve your next vehicle priced at the MSRP, never above. And Rudy Luther Toyota is the leader in certified pre-owned vehicles. They're on the lot, ready to go home today. New or pre-owned, you'll find your next vehicle at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Claire Ferreira, president and owner of Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Ever since my grandfather founded Standard over 90 years ago, word-of-mouth advertising and referrals from our customers have always been important. That's why, after serving over 500,000 customers, we're proud to have a 4.9-star average rating out of 5 on our online reviews. Check them out for yourself and find out more at standardheating.com. That's standardheating.com.
Your air conditioner called. It needs an upgrade. As we finally make our way towards warmer weather, Standard Heating wants to make sure you have an air conditioner that can handle our inevitable Minnesota summer heat. That's why right now with Standard, you can save up to $1,700 on a new furnace and AC combo. They have 0% financing available and payment options. Plus, ask about installing a water heater with your purchase. So beat that hot, humid summer heat and save up to $1,700 on a new furnace and AC combo. That's Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, providing the comfort you deserve since 1930. More at standardheating.com.
Hi, folks. This is Kirk Bankstad from Wisconsin's Minocqua Brewing Company, and our Progressive beer is now available in Minneapolis. Yes, you Vikings can now buy Biden Beer, Bernie Brew, AOC IPA, and Kamala, a strong vice presidential stout, without having to travel across the border. And the best news yet is that 5% of the proceeds of each beer you buy go to Keeping Wisconsin Blue.
Drink progressively with Minocqua Brewing. Get their Progressive beers at Top 10 Liquors in St. Louis Park and Stints in Wine, Beer, and Spirits in Northeast Minneapolis. Find other Twin Cities locations at MinocquaBrewingCompany.com. With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 41, Saturday cloudy with a high near 53, and Sunday partly sunny with a high around 59. Check out the award-winning Hazel's Northeast for a delicious meal any time of the day. Breakfast favorites include the meat waffle, hippie cakes, and chicken fried steak and eggs, while for dinner, try selections like the meatloaf and mushroom ravioli. Hazel's Northeast is located off 29th and Johnson, or at hazelsnetogo.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Wendy, we got State Senator Mary Kunish on here, so it must be Friday. And Mary is working hard for all of us, all her district, the whole state, and our Native American people. So I know, like, we talk about a lot of the great things that that are happening for Natives. Mm-hmm. Or just being visible is because of the great work that she does, and also a couple of our other indigenous, like our Lieutenant Governor and Heather Keeler and
Ruth Buffalo.
Well, she's in North Dakota, but
but still.
Right,
Jamie
right.
Yep.
That's who I was trying to think of. Right, Jamie Becker Finn, definitely. So welcome back, State Senator. We were having a great conversation about price gouging, and also, you know, me keeping a list of what all these Republicans are not for, And so when election time comes up, we can remind our voters what really they're all about.
Yep. And election time is just, what, 6 months away? And, you know, every election we say this is the most important election that we've ever had. And this is going to be another one if we can swing it here in Minnesota and flip the Senate and take a DFL, a Democrat majority, keep the House and keep our Dem governor. I can only imagine the good work that we would be able to do. And I know that a lot of people think that Democrats are these crazy liberal spending, you know, those sort of things. But honestly, the senators that I know are not. They are really professional. They're experts in their fields. They're very common sense, and they're dedicated to this state and doing what's best for the state. Sometimes you do spend money. Sometimes you pull back. There's another issue that we've been discussing all week long, and that is the expansion of online sports betting. And right now in Minnesota, the tribes have the exclusive rights to legalize gambling at through their casinos and that sort of thing. And there are people that would like to have, digital or app gambling, betting on sports events. And it's very interesting because this is one issue where we're seeing a lot of both Republicans and Democrats not in favor of it. They don't want to expand gambling in Minnesota because of the addictive nature and the destructive, the destruction of it. You always think, I'm going to place that one bet. This is the one that's going to bring home the big pot, and I'm going to be set for life. And we know from experience that there are too many people that just don't have that impulse control. And so it's been very interesting listening to both the Republicans and the Democrats speak not in favor of this. And but then there's, of course, there are a lot of people that want it. So that's going to be another final push here in our legislative session.
Well, it's inevitable, Mary. And I know Wisconsin, we have a compact there, and we're doing online betting through the tribes in Wisconsin. It's inevitable, I think, and it's just a matter of who's in control of it, and I think to leave it with the Native American communities just makes sense. They're all set up for it. And but if you're against it, I think a lot of people are against expansion in for the Native communities here in Minnesota, the 11 tribes.
Yeah, and not all of the tribes have agreed to it either. There are some that don't want to see that. And we know that especially our communities of color are at higher risk of being problem gamblers. Why do we want to put that in front of them? But what they really want to do is expand it so that this they're able to do these this offsite out of the casino gambling at the race tracks, and those race tracks are not tribally, controlled. Right. And so that is a way, like that's the doorway to disenfranchising or moving the exclusive gambling rights that our tribes have here in Minnesota. You know, it's the door to opening up that whole gambling system. And so the Indians won't, the tribes won't agree to it if they have, if they expand it to the casino or to the racetracks. They call them racinos. And so, it'll be a hot topic this at the end of this session.
So another hot topic too, is, hemp or legalizing, recreational, marijuana. I know, for instance, Wisconsin doesn't have it, but Illinois does. There's states all over the union that does, and it brings in revenue again, for the tribes and hopefully BIPOC people. But I know there's a lot of big push with white organizations and businesses that are already in the medical marijuana that want to keep BIPOC people out of there. And that big law about, if you have a felony, you can't own a store. Well, that's, you know, it used to be three strikes and you're out with President Clinton. And we got all these BIPOC people that are in prison because they sold pot. And now it's going to be legal. And now white organizations are going to be leading and making money. And we're still going to have our brothers and sisters in prison because of the three strikes you're out and the laws in the past.
Yeah, I think we definitely are going to have to look at expunging some of those sentences. You know, it all started back with Reagan, actually, in the war against drugs and the tightening up of all the laws so that they incarcerated more people of color than anyone else. But we did try again this week. Our minority leader, Melissa Lopez Franson, is carrying the legalized marijuana bill in the Senate. And she did exactly what I just explained earlier, that she made a motion to pull the bill out of a committee and get it heard on the floor. And then we had a big press release or a press conference and discussed, you know, why it is so important that this is the time to get it done. But again, there are people that are like, no, we don't need another legalized drug. How is the police going to enforce this? How are we going to expunge those old records? But I know that especially the Democrats have been studying this for years, and they've been out across the state talking to more and more folks. I remember going on a few of these junkets to talk to different communities, and it was the older folks that were really adamant about legalizing marijuana because of the medicinal attributes to marijuana. Right. And, you know, as you get older, you have the aches and pains, you have, internal issues that marijuana can, you know, either ease the symptoms or the pain. And, it's again, there are lots of people that want it legalized. There are lots of people that do not want it legalized. You know, I think both of those things are inevitable. But in the meantime, there's a lot of discussion.
Right. And I think, I think what I heard, and I could be wrong, too, is that Wisconsin's pretty close to legalizing it. So, again, you know, I back to the gambling, I think if it's controlled in casinos, and I think the law is you have to be able to bet on sports betting in the casinos in Wisconsin. Yep. And so if you do that here in Minnesota, you control it. It's the same people possibly that are going to go in there and spend $50 or whatever to gamble or spend a whole day with the slots and whatever, and then also have high rollers that are going in there and betting on sports, whether it's, you know, so it's going to happen. It's a matter of the tribal nations are going to be a part of this. And I hope here in Minnesota they do, because in other states they are, and some states they aren't.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Things can flip-flop in a second, let me tell you. You just never know until it finally passes.
Wow. Yeah. Wendy, you got any questions? Because this has been really informational today.
Well, marijuana is legal in New York, and there's a couple of dispensaries that I walk by, that we've walked by, and they're always empty. So, I mean, you know, it's not like people are like out the door and there's lines.
Well, they're unmotivated. They're smoking weed at home and they don't want to get out
to
of
go
the house.
In these places. Yeah. I mean, literally, I passed the place, I can't even tell you how many dozens of times, and I'm just like, nobody's ever in here. I don't get it.
Well, can Amazon deliver it? I don't know.
if Amazon could deliver it, maybe not. I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I think there's...
I don't think it's that big a deal. You know, if people
I know
are
for
smoke-
me, being in recovery, Wendy, I won't smoke it.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm not into mood-altering drugs and changing my mood, but it is a medicine for a lot of people. Right. Their anxiety, there's depression and the things that... You know, that we, at least I don't suffer from, and so I'm grateful for that.
Exactly.
But who am I to say?
Well, I was just watching a program on Netflix about a woman who was in New York, and she was a little person, so she hurt a little, her joints and legs really hurt her a lot, and a lot of times she was wheelchair-bound because of the pain that she had in her legs and her hips because of her joint deformities. And when she was here, she was using, it wasn't like that she would smoke it. She would use like an oil where she wouldn't get the high, but she was getting the medicinal effects of the medication. It really, really helped her. But then she was flying back to England, and it's not legal there. So she couldn't bring any with her. And she said that she's thinking about, like, you know, moving to New York because she just had such a better quality of life because of it. So...
Wow. Well, State Senator, thanks for jumping on, as always. And really, Peeny Geegee, thank you so much for all the work you do for us here in Minnesota and nationally. You're a well-known person, and we're really blessed to have you on every Friday and speak your truth.
Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity. We've got a weekend left of session, so there's still a lot of work to do, but let's hope that we end up with some good stuff.
Peeny Geegee, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minneapolis Public Schools wants to hire you. They have a variety of positions to start your career. You can work in the classroom as a teacher or classroom support, or work outside the classroom as a bus driver, in the culinary wellness department to help prepare nutritious meals, or keeping the building safe and sanitized as a custodian. Bilingual, bicultural, candidates encouraged to apply. Start your career in education and apply today at jobs.minneapolis.k12.mn.us.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
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 Mine was low. I don't feel good. Hey, Reservation Dogs coming out in August, and Rutherford Falls is coming out in June, and we get to interview all the stars there. And
that's going to be so exciting.
Yeah. So I'm totally stoked on that. So... Wendy, excited here. It's Fun Facts Friday, you know, and it seems, you know, yesterday we didn't do the show live, and I always miss this portion. So,
thank you.
Learned something new.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis, and Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga.
And Curtis listens to the show.
Yeah, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and the state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. Yeah, so yesterday I got another action alert that I had to call Senator Tina Smith and Amy Klobuchar's office. And I was really lucky that most of the time when I call there, it's a recording and I leave a message. But I was able to talk to the legislative assistant and they talked to me. So I was really, really happy. And what it is, it's a proposition. I wasn't even going to talk about this, but let me just bring it up really quick. It's called California's Proposition 12. And what this is that what these factory farm industries want to do is make it really bad for the animals. And the reason why they want to do that is because it keeps them cheaper, right? It keeps keeping an animal, not giving them spacious places to live, making sure their water is clean, giving them veterinarian care, not keeping them in temperatures that are too high or too low, doing all those good things to keep animals that are used for food costs a lot of money. And the industry doesn't want to do that. The industries want to keep the animals in really small cages and just use as little resources as possible to keep the animals alive until they're not alive anymore. And then they're on your plate.
Oh.
So we're urging our senators, Senator Klobuchar and Tina Smith, to vote for Proposition 12. So that's what I did yesterday, and I was able to talk to them.
Call Tina our nickname, or should we just move on?
You should move on.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have a couple of, it's Fun Fact Friday, and I have some animal sleep facts.
Oh, I like this.
I know.
I'm a little bear.
And a lot of these I didn't even know. Elephants sleep less than any other animal with an average of 2 hours a night. A study conducted by researchers from the university in South Africa found that wild elephants are the mammals with the shortest sleep time known. The research found that elephants sleep 2 hours per day and on average, if at all, and do so mostly standing up.
Hey.
Yeah, the elephants sometimes went up to 46 hours without any sleep while walking distances of about 19 miles, probably to avoid threats like lions and poachers. So that's amazing. I never knew that. So when they do sleep,
so
it's 2 hours.
How long do they live?
They live a long time.
So
the elephant could live to 70 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, they don't sleep very often. Dolphins shut off half of their brain while they sleep. Unlike humans, dolphins have to consciously think to breathe. Therefore, dolphins only shut off half of their brain when they fall asleep. This is called unihemispheric, or one hemisphere of the brain goes to sleep while the other remains awake. So half their brain is asleep while the other half keeps them coming up for oxygen. Surprising, dolphins spend about one third of their lives fast asleep. Us humans are the only mammals that can delay sleep. Oh. Humans are the only mammals known to willingly delay sleep. We humans are able to keep ourselves awake even when our bodies are showing signs of tiredness and need to go to sleep. Unlike us, all other mammals are unable to willingly delay their sleep and must go to sleep when their body tells them to.
Yeah, I've become an old man and I've fallen asleep on the couch now, like grandpa.
I know.
Like I'm a choker
with
there.
The same TikTok playing on your phone over and over again.
Yeah.
Oops, that was TMI. Sea otters sleep holding hands. We've seen pictures of this. The sleep fact is insanely adorable. While sleeping in water, sea otters hold hands to prevent drifting away and losing each other. One of the reasons behind this tradition is otters' fear of losing their loved ones.
Aww.
And when their baby otters are too small to hold their mother's hand, their mothers will carry them around. Aww. Holding hands is also a way for otters to protect themselves from predators, as them drifting away from land together makes it harder for the hunters or other predators to kill them.
Wow.
Yeah,
hey, can you see
cute?
What Richard put up about koalas?
Oh, koalas.
Koalas?
Koalas can sleep for up to 20 hours a day due to their low energy diet and intense amount of energy required to break down toxic leaves. Huh. Koalas, I know, right, are mostly active at night. They are nocturnal and around dawn and dusk. That's really cute. Yeah. I love koalas.
Thanks, Richard.
And another thing about koalas that we've talked about is that their fingerprints are very, very similar to human fingerprints.
Which they're not the same one on each koala.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I listen.
I know, really. A snail, I think I've talked about this before too. Snails can sleep for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, snails are mostly active during the nighttime as they need humidity to produce the mucus that allows them to slide from one place to another. However, when the weather is extremely hot or cold, snails can stay inside their shell for long periods of time.
Mm.
Although it's rare in extreme cases where there are long periods of extreme weather, snails can sleep for 3 years, which is about one third of their lives.
Wow. Wendy, you part snail?
Exactly. Cats, except our cat, except for our cat Lucy,
right.
Cats spend two-thirds of their lives asleep. On average, cats spend about two-thirds of their lives asleep, sleeping between 13 to 16 hours per day. I'm more like a cat. The reasoning behind cats' sleeping habits originates from their evolutionary history. To conserve energy for hunting, chasing, etc., wild cats must sleep. Even if domesticated cats don't need to hunt, they still have the instinct of sleeping and saving energy for it. Ducks can sleep with one eye open and one side of their brain awake. Dogs turn circles before lying down as an old, wild instinct of making their own bed. We've talked about that before, too. Often before lying down, dogs circle the place where they choose to sleep. Well, according to Live Science, this behavior dates back to their wild ancestors who had to make their own beds. Back then, in a time before doggy beds.
You were going to say doggy daycare.
I was. Doggy daycare beds and domestication. Wild dogs had to pat down tall grass to make themselves comfortable beds, and it also helped to get rid of all the bugs, you know, that were sleeping in that area.
There you go.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. That applause is for you in this great segment that you do. Welcome back, Ogama. Thank you so much. We're glad you made it. Through all the flying and the things that you had to do, we're glad you're back. Want to give a shout out to State Senator Mary Kunish and also my lovely wife Wendy for always being there for me and for you out there with her animal, sacred animal section.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground on which we stand at is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group. Run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line three.